What are they going to say to Jacob when they get home? And who's going to say it? What? How are we going to break this news to Daddy? So the great Zaphnath-Paaneah is discerning enough to know that they might start trying to. Well, you're the first one who said let's tie him up. Yeah, but you're the one that actually threw him in the pit. Yeah, he knew that the fear of their father might provoke them to turn on each other. So he tells them. And they departed, and he said, "See that you fall not out by the way." Let's fall out with each other. Don't get into a quarrel and a fight along the way. He probably had to remind them, it wasn't you. But they have a hard time going back to their father and say, "Daddy, guess what God did to Joseph?" I mean, that would be mighty hard. You won't believe this. Yeah. And they went up to Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father and told him, saying, "Joseph is still alive, and he is that man in Egypt that we were so afraid of." Jacob's heart fainted. He didn't believe them. He just couldn't believe them. And they told him all the words of Joseph which he had said to them. And then when he saw the wagons that Pharaoh had sent, they were fine wagons, which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived, and Israel said, "It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die." And Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba. On his way from Hebron down to Egypt, went through Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac, and God appeared to him to encourage him. He said in verse 3, "I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. I will go down with you, Jacob, into Egypt. I will surely also again bring thee up again, and Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes." That is, when you die, Joseph will reach down and close your eyes. He'll close your eyes for you. When Uncle Joe died, he died with his eyes wide open. We were all standing around there. And I helped him lift his body off the bed and carry it away. It's good to die in the company of people that really love you and know God. Jacob's going to die with his eyes open. And Joseph is going to close them. So Jacob arose, came on down to Egypt with all that came with him. Verse 28. And he sent Judah before him unto Joseph. Sent Judah ahead when they got close to Egypt to tell Joseph he was close, to direct his face to Goshen. And they came to the land of Goshen. And Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel his father to Goshen and presented himself to him. And he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a long time. Phew. And Israel said unto Joseph, "Now let me die, since I have seen your face, because you are still alive." And Joseph said unto his brethren and unto his father's house, "I will go up and show Pharaoh, and I'll say to him, my brethren and my father's house, which were in Canaan, are come to me. And the men are shepherds." This is what I'll tell Pharaoh. I'll tell him that you're shepherds, and your trade has been to feed cattle, and you've brought your flocks with you and your herd. And it shall come to pass when Pharaoh shall call you, and he will call you, he'll want to meet you. And he'll ask you, "What is your occupation?" You tell him that your work is with cattle, and he'll give you the land of Goshen. Because he won't make you live close to him. He will want you close to him because of me, but he won't allow that to happen if you're shepherds. He'll send you to Goshen. Because every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians. It had some kind of religious reason for that. I don't know what it is. They probably worship whatever shepherds killed. About when the Roman Empire, well, may have been during the Republican heir of Rome. A Roman ambassador was in Egypt riding through the streets, and his chariot, a cat ran out, and his chariot ran over and killed, ran over the cat and killed it. Well, Egyptians worshiped cats. And a mob saw a cat run over, and they mobbed the ambassador and killed him. So these Egyptians were very serious about the animals. They worshiped roaches. They had little things drawn and little rings with roaches on them. They were serious about their animals they worshiped. I'm sure this has some kind of religious reason that a shepherd was an abomination to the Egyptians at this time. So Joseph came, told Pharaoh in chapter 47, "My father and my brethren and their flocks and their herds and all that they have are come out of the land of Canaan, and they're in Goshen." And he took some of his brethren, five of them, and presented them to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said, "What is your occupation?" And they said, "We're shepherds. And we've come here to sojourn because there's no pasture left in Canaan. And we ask you, please, let us stay in Goshen." And Pharaoh spoke to Joseph, saying, well, he told him to go to Goshen if they needed that. And then verse 7, this is very touching to me. Joseph brought in Jacob, his old father. His father at this time is 130 years old. And he set him before Pharaoh, and look at this. Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And the lesser is blessed by the greater. That is, Pharaoh looked up to Jacob as being the father of Zaphnath-Paaneah and all that he had done. And Jacob gave a blessing to Pharaoh for taking care of his lost son for 13 years. And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, "How old are you?" And Jacob said to Pharaoh, "The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and I have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage." And Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from before Pharaoh. Now I gave you a sheet about Jacob's life. It's a summary of Jacob's life. 1043. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been. Let's look over Jacob's life and see what kind of life he had, and you compare it with the kind of life you've been given. Number one, Israel, Jacob was not the firstborn. So he started out with one strike against him. Two, he was not the robust masculine type. Three, Isaac favored Esau. Four, he was unmarried at an old age. You know, if you use your calculator, and I've done this over and over and over, he was 70 when he had to flee from Esau. I know that sounds weird, but you look at that piece of paper that I gave you to start with and add up the numbers yourself. He was an old man. He was getting old. Number five, he had to flee for his life from his brother Esau. He worked for Laban 7 years for Rachel, but was given Leah. He worked 7 more years for Rachel. He suffered constant strife and jealousy between Leah and Rachel. He suffered years of tension with Rachel because of her barrenness. He worked altogether 20 years for Laban. That might have been the worst part right there. He fled from Laban and barely escaped. When he fled from Laban, he had no place to go that he knew was safe. Idolatry was in his family. An angel gave him a permanent limp. He limped into Pharaoh's presence. He fled from Laban. He bought peace with Esau with a large portion of his herd. Dinah, his only daughter, was molested by a Canaanite. Simeon and Levi wickedly deceived and murdered the men of an entire city. His beloved Rachel died giving birth to Benjamin. There was constant family discord because of his special affection for Joseph. Joseph was apparently killed by a wild animal. I don't even mention in here that Reuben committed incest with one of Jacob's wives. When a terrible famine struck, he had to send his sons to Egypt for food. His sons returned except for Simeon, who was held hostage by the ruler of Egypt. The ruler of Egypt demanded that Rachel's other son, Benjamin, be brought to Egypt, and he refused until starvation threatened the whole family, and he sadly had to send him away. Now, have you had a life that's rough? Who in here feels like we need to pity you? Who? Well, he had to figure it out, didn't he? Praise God. You've got something to thank God for. Verse 11. Joseph placed his father and brethren and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramesses. That's spelled differently from what I have it on your homework, but it is spelled with two A's these days, at least in some places, as Pharaoh had commanded. And Joseph nourished his father and his brethren and all his father's household with bread according to their families. And there was then we're told this may be a principal way how Pharaoh became a God figure in Egypt. Because as the food gave out, all the people brought all the land, eventually used up all their money to buy food from Zaphnath-Paaneah. When they had no more food, they brought their cattle in verse 17. So Joseph gave them bread, and all the cattle of Egypt, all the livestock in Egypt became Pharaoh's. In verse 18, when that year was ended, they came unto him a second time, and they said in verse 19, why should we die before right in front of your face, we and our land, buy us and our land. So everybody in Egypt became a slave to Pharaoh. And all the land became his, except what he honored God with by letting the priest have. You do a good thing for God's people, and there's no end to the blessing God will give you. Jesus said if you give one of his disciples a cup of water in his name, you would receive a reward. And Pharaoh had blessed Joseph, and that made Joseph able to bless his family, and now Pharaoh's reaping he becomes the owner of Egypt. It's not a democracy.
You think that's the result of Jacob blessing Pharaoh?
Well, that's all part of it. Jacob blessed Pharaoh. You know there's got to be a blessing that comes with it.
He can't pass the blessing on, so the blessing's still with Jacob.
Yep. Well, he blessed Esau and he got rich. Cattle, yeah. Sons, whatever. In verse 26... verse 23, Joseph said unto the people, behold, I have bought you this day and your land for Pharaoh. Lo, here is seed for you, and ye shall sow the land. And it shall come to pass in the increase that ye shall give 20% to Pharaoh, one-fifth part. Four parts shall be your own, for seed, for food, for your households, for your children. In verse 25, he said, hey, you've saved our lives. You want 30%? We'd give it.
Well, the blessing has been passed down through Joseph to wisdom that God
yeah.
Given.
Whoever did good to Joseph got a blessing out of it. Amen. Verse 26, Joseph made it a law over the land of Egypt. How about that? Just Joseph making laws now. Joseph made it a law over all the land of Egypt and to this day that Pharaoh should have the fifth part, except the land of the priest only, which became not Pharaoh's. Now Jacob gets old. Verse 28. His family has multiplied exceedingly, and he lived 17 more years in Egypt. So he died at 147. He's not dead yet, but that's when he will die. Verse 29, the time drew near that Israel must die, and he called his son Joseph and called him and said, if now I have found grace in thy sight, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. And deal kindly and truly with me. Bury me not, I pray thee, in Egypt. But I will lie with my fathers, and thou shalt carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burying place. And Joseph said, I will do as you have said. And Jacob said, swear unto me. And Joseph sware unto him. And Israel bowed himself upon the bed's head. Now after this, right before he dies, Joseph has a private audience with Jacob. When I first taught the Old Testament course, I didn't require my students to read every chapter and every verse. I would pick out chapters to leave out just so things would move along. And one of the chapters I chose in the beginning, in 76, 7, 8, whenever I started, one of the chapters I chose to leave out was chapter 48, which I learned in time had one of the major events in the Bible in it. So after that, everybody reads every chapter and every verse. in this chapter 48, Joseph comes to see his father, and he brings his two young sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And Jacob is very old, very weak, his eyesight maybe getting dim, and he looks at Joseph and said, Who's that with you? And he said, they're my two sons that God gave me here in Egypt. And he brought them out from between his knees. Now, he knows that the father's right hand is where the blessing, the chief blessing is. So he takes Manasseh, the older son, in his left hand, holding with his left hand, Ephraim this way, to walk them up to their old grandfather so that their grandfather could just reach out and bless Manasseh, the older son, with his right hand, and Ephraim with his left. And when he get up there, the Spirit of God moves Jacob to do like this. And Joseph reached out and said, No, you don't understand. He said, no, you don't understand. God's going to take this one and make him the head. And Joseph doesn't argue with that, because he's seen how God works. And the blessing is this, the wording of it, in verse 5. And now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, who were born unto thee in the land of Egypt before I came unto thee in Egypt, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they are mine. This is the major event. So here we have, who's the firstborn son?
Reuben.
Who's next?
Simeon.
Levi.
Judah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I'm spelling it like y'all did on the test. And Benjamin. Now, the blessing of the firstborn was a double portion. If you had two sons, you divided your inheritance in three parts. The firstborn got two parts and the other got one. By who are Joseph's two sons?
Manasseh and Ephraim.
Ephraim and Manasseh. When we get into Canaan's land will be divided among the different families of his that descended from these men. They don't call them families; they call them tribes. The same word, tribes of Israel, families of Israel's sons. That's all it means. There is never a tribe of Joseph. Joseph is elevated above his brothers. So you have Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. But then that doesn't leave us but 11 tribes of Israel. But what did Jacob just say? Ephraim and Manasseh are mine, just as Reuben, just as Simeon, just as Levi. So this is the lineup. These are the sons of Jacob. Joseph was raised up above his brothers. The birthright was taken away from Reuben and given to Joseph. And if you're looking for a scripture that actually says it, 1 Chronicles 5:1. The birthright was given to Joseph. So actually what you end up with is 13 tribes. There never were just 12. I know we talk about the 12 tribes of Israel a lot, but there's a reason that that's mentioned instead of 13. There were always 13. You'll see the reason why later. Too complicated to get into. So these are the tribes of Israel now. And on that map, look on map page. Let me see. Page 62, 3, 4, 5, somewhere along in there. Where it has the tribes and their possessions on it. Is it 65 or 61? Well, it does in light gray. Yeah, it's got, 61, 65, 60. 61 has them in darker print, in black print. You see where each tribe, each family was given a possession. Right in the middle of Canaan's land, right in here, where Jacob bought land, that's going to be Ephraim, Ephraim's territory. You'll see Manasseh right above there. here in Canaan and over in Gilead. Half of Manasseh lived on one side of the river and half on the other, and that's on the map. But there is no tribe of Joseph. He was superior to all of that. And that's a major event. Everybody follow that now? You know what's happened. This is the blessing of Joseph, and it's the sixth major event in the book of Genesis. Now, let's see. Chapter 49, Jacob passes on his prophecies for his sons before he dies. We need to look in particular at verse 3 and following concerning Reuben, Simeon, and Levi. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity and the excellency of power, unstable as water, thou shalt not excel. That means you're not going to get a double portion. You're not going to excel above your brethren. Because you went up to your father's bed, you defiled it. He went up to my couch. So the price that he paid for that incest, was it Bilhah or Zilpah? Bilhah, wasn't it? Was that he lost his birthright. Simeon and Levi, for their murder of Shechem and Hamor and that city of men, are brethren. The same thing is going to happen to them. Instruments of cruelty are in their habitations. O my soul, come not thou unto their secret. Don't let me be a partaker of their secret evil deeds. Unto their assembly, mine honor, be not thou united. For in their anger they slew a man. In their self-will they digged down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. So when this is how it plays out, here are the tribes, all of them given their own land, including Simeon. He had a little possession there. Levi was treated differently. Simeon followed suit after. Simeon was, well, there's no section on that map you saw for a tribe of Levi. Levi wasn't given a block of land. For reasons that we'll talk about later, Simeon was only given 48 cities that were scattered in all the tribes. 48 of them. Levi, that's it. Levi was given 48 cities inside of Israel. So they were scattered in Israel. Simeon was given a piece of land, but he gradually was just married away. His tribe just kind of floated away and disappeared inside Judah and Israel. Inside Judah mainly. His land was within Judah's borders. So Simeon and Levi were cursed not to have a possession and gradually just to disappear within Israel. Well, now that's going to bring up a major problem for the country. Reuben's supposed to get the birthright, but he didn't. Simeon and Levi were next. They didn't. Judah's next. Why didn't he get it? What, Earl? Huh? No, I said, it's not because of the blessing of Joseph. The question is, why did Joseph get the blessing instead of Judah for a birthright? Can't be because of it, because that's the question. Anybody? That's the reasoning of Jacob to give the birthright to Joseph, since he rescued everybody. Yes, but you know, in the law it said if a man has two wives and the one loved and the other hated, and the hated wife gives him children before the loved wife gives him children, that he cannot pass over the hated wife's children to give special care to the others. Judah was one of Leah's children. And since Ephraim got the chief blessing, Ephraim becomes the chief of all the tribes of Israel. The people of Judah say, wait a minute. He can't pass over us like that. People of Ephraim said, Jacob can do whatever he wants to. Joseph saved the whole nation. And that tension underlies everything in your reading from now on out. The tension between Judah and Ephraim for supremacy in the country. And Judah eventually wins. God eventually chooses. When God rejects Ephraim and Manasseh, he starts back at the top of the list again and stops at Judah. And that's where it was when Jesus came. And Jesus came from Judah. It's an interesting history. It eventually ended in civil war in Israel. North against south, just like here. Let's see what he said to Judah. Judah, verse 8, "Thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee." The other tribes are going to end up bowing down. "Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he crouched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come." Shiloh is a word that means "he who shall be sent." Remember Methuselah, Shalah, Salah, same thing. Shiloh, the sent one, come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Then he goes on to give prophecies to the other tribes. "And when he died, they carried his body." Joseph was very faithful, carried his body over to Canaan's land. Verse 30. "In the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought, with the field of Ephron the Hittite for a possession of a burying place." This is very touching, this next sentence. "There they buried Abraham and Sarah his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah his wife. And there I buried Leah." He's going to be buried with Leah, not Rachel. She took the short end of the stick while she was alive, but he showed her the highest honor that he could show her when he died. Six people buried in the cave of Machpelah: Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Rebekah, Jacob, and Leah.
From John, there is no, from the time Rebekah sent Jacob to Haran, this is the next mention of her, isn't it?
I think so. We're not told much about her anymore. I imagine she just lived a quiet, simple life. Did her chores as a mother and wife and went on. Those kind of people are my favorite characters. There's a clue as to who is writing this in verse 10 of the next chapter, the last chapter in Genesis. Talking about coming up from Egypt into Canaan's land. Egypt is here. Here's Goshen. Coming up to Egypt, and they said they went to the threshing floor of Atad, which is beyond Jordan. Now, where's Jordan? There's Jordan. And beyond, if you're coming up from Egypt, beyond Jordan is over there. But they didn't bury Jacob over there in Gilead. They buried him over on this side of Jordan. It's in the cave of Machpelah in Hebron. Mamre. So what's he talking about, that the threshing floor of Atad is beyond Jordan? Well, if the threshing floor of Atad is somewhere over here, then whoever's writing this had to be over there. And that's where Moses was when he brought the land, people out of the land of Egypt. He went around for reasons that you'll see shortly. Now, they spent the required mourning time and they all drifted back. And then Reuben and Simeon and Judah and sitting around, he say, "You know, Joseph was just waiting for Daddy to die. Now he's going to get us. You watch." He knew Daddy didn't want him to. So they got together and decided they better come up with a plan. So they got a servant, wrote out a message to him, handed it to him. Servant brought it to Joseph, and he read it, and he said, "Dear Joseph, Daddy said before he died, don't do anything bad to us." And he means it. And Joseph started crying again. they don't get it yet. They still are trying to take credit for what's happened to me. Still trying to blame themselves. And he went to them and he cried and he wept on them, hugged them. And he told them this. I love this phrase. He told them, I understand that you meant to do evil to me. You see, I'm not saying that you didn't mean to do that. But do you understand that God did it for good? I know you meant evil, but God meant it for good. Can we not come to an agreement here? I'm not holding you responsible because you're not God. If you were God, I'd be upset. But you're not. So I'm happy. He said, God did this for me to save your lives and your children's lives. And look what he's done. I'm not going to change. I didn't bless you because your father was living. I blessed you because God is living. And he's put me here to do that. So then they went on to live. Joseph lived 110 years. They didn't bury him in Canaan. Why did they, Carol, take Joseph all the way back to Haran to bury him? Earth to Carol. Earth to Carol. What? You didn't know what? Wait, I can't hear you. You didn't? Well, Leanne, you tell her. Why did they take Joseph all the way back to Haran to bury him? What does it say there? Oh, you taken back?
No.
So they didn't take him to Haran, Carol. That's why you didn't know why they did it. I'm glad you didn't know why they did it. I would have been very upset if you knew why they did that. They embalmed Joseph and put him in a coffin in Egypt, and he said, God is going to visit you again and take you out of this place. When you go, you take my bones with you. And that's how the book of Genesis ends. When you turn the page from Genesis to Exodus, you've passed over 300 years. You need to kind of realize that so you understand what's happening.
What was it, 430 before they carried the bones up?
Mm-hmm. All right, now, anybody got any questions about what we've been over? Okay, that's good. Next time we'll take it up in Exodus. You've got your assignment.